And I'd like us to open up our Bibles, and then I'll pray before we read it. 2 Timothy 3, verse 1 and 2. And we're going to look at the depths of gratitude. The depths of gratitude. And the theme of the sermon is be thankful. So let us pray. Dear Father, I want to thank you so much that you take us deeper. And that Paul said, not that I've already attained, but he strived, dear Father, for that he might experience the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And I just want to ask you this morning that you would speak to us through your word. And I know that there are lesser things you can find in Scripture of people who are punished because they're wrong and their teeth are clean. But there are deep things in Scripture that are life-changing, especially those things which pertain to Jesus Christ and salvation and spiritual growth and knowing God and being filled with the knowledge of Jesus and wisdom. And I just ask thee in thy mercy that you would work this morning to your glory alone. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, we're going to look at the depths of gratitude and we're going to look at the the theme, be thankful. Now, I think I mentioned last year that when I talk about thankfulness and gratitude, I'm not talking about people who smack someone in the face after they say thank you. I can't just walk up to Brandon and say, Brandon, you've got lovely teeth, smack him in the face and say, or say, thank you, Brandon, for being such a wonderful friend, and then smack him in the face and expect him to think that I'm thankful. Unless I was swatting a fly or something like that. A lot of people do that to God, though. They say an awful lot of thanks and nice things about God and nice things about other people, but behind their back, they stick them in the back with a knife. They gossip about them. And they do things which prove through their life that they're not thankful, while with their lips, they're saying, I'm thankful. Thank you very much. But with your life, you show that you're not thankful. That is not the gratitude that I'm talking about this morning. But let's read together. In 2 Timothy 3, verse 1 and 2, it's talking about the end times. The times that we are living in right now, which is unlike other times. And it says there, apart from the time of Noah, this know also that in the last days, perilous times shall come. In other words, dangerous times spiritually. We are living in extremely dangerous times spiritually. 40 years back, when I was a little boy, every single desk in every single public school in South Africa had a Bible. We got spanked if we were late for school. We got spanked if we did not show respect to our teachers. We got spanked if we lost something. I got spanked for that quite a lot. There was an amazing culture in South Africa and a fear of God. I'm not saying that they had everything right politically and with the civil rights and whatever, but at the end of the day, there was a fear of God. And there were a few nations like that if you go back 60, 70, 80 years. Now we're living in a time which is absolutely anti-God, the fear of God is out the window, and it's perilous times. And then it says what these perilous times are. It says, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, blasphemers, disobedient to parents like never before, unthankful, unholy. We are living in a time, the end times, where like never before, people, including those sitting in the church, will be unthankful. And the reason I'm saying those sitting in the church are not just the liberal church, but the conservative church, and I mentioned this to Timothy recently, is that whatever the culture is around you, even if you're against it, it will start to have influence on individuals in that church. That's how culture works. It influences you. Much of what you are as an American is not just Christianity, it's because you're American and the people around you have an influence on your values. And it's a strong push. And in this time we're living on all across the world, people are unthankful like never before, and this will have a tug on people's hearts, even sitting in this church. We're living in perilous times spiritually. You know, when someone says, I killed 10 people, or I went down the road and I slept with 5 girls or whatever, then people say, oh, evil person. But when you say unthankful, it doesn't seem like something that's terrifyingly wrong. Yet it is absolutely perilous to be unthankful, and I'll show you why very soon. Romans 1 verse 21 says, because that when they knew God, this is talking about the unsaved nations, When they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. A nation that is against God is an unthankful nation. And I'd like to look today, like I said, at gratitude and thankfulness, which to God is a very important topic. And but first of all, you find in men, in mankind, outside of what God teaches, you'll find the lowest and the highest form of thankfulness. Basically, when you talk of salvation, if you went from 1 to 6, 1 being the lowest number, 6 being the highest number of man, you could say, well, there's people who are morally very bad, and there's people who attain to the highest form of morality, but it's not God's perfection. I might be a drunkard killing people, that's number one. I might work myself up and become a Pharisee and keep a million rules and keep myself clean and all these different things, but I'm still a sinner, even though I'm number one. And you have lower forms of gratitude and higher forms of gratitude also shown in the Scripture. The lowest form of man's gratitude, which is despicable, but you find in the Scriptures, found in Luke chapter 18, verse 11, when you're grateful for yourself in light of what other people are. Were you grateful for yourself in light of what other people are? Luke 18, verse 11, the Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank Thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. In other words, this person, and this is the lowest form of thanks that you can possibly have, is thankful for himself. God, look at me. I'm wonderful. I've got beautiful teeth like Brandon. I go to church 5 times a week. I give so much money. I do this, I do that. I am wonderful. And this is despicable. It's self-righteousness, and it will send people to hell when you compare yourself to others instead of comparing yourself to God. But as you go up the ladder of thankfulness, you'll find another type of thankfulness which is not wrong. It is not evil. And yet it is a thankfulness you don't have to be a Christian to have. You don't have to be saved to have this thankfulness. It's not the thankfulness and the depth of thankfulness that God wants us to understand that we as Christians are supposed to have. And yet, in and of itself, it's not wrong. And that is the thankfulness where you say, I'm thankful compared to others who are less fortunate. You know the saying, I was ungrateful for not having shoes until I saw someone that didn't have feet. And that's a good type of thankfulness. But like I said, you can have that thankfulness and you can be unsaved. It's the highest thankfulness you can have outside of being a Christian. Unfortunately, though, when you listen to sermons of many great preachers, you'll find that many of them stop there. That is the highest form of thankfulness that they preach for Christianity. They talk of people less fortunate and they exhort people to be thankful compared to those who are less fortunate to them. And that's it. And I've heard many, many sermons in this way. Man's highest gratitude. God wants us to understand a deeper form of gratitude. Something that affects our entire life and every little part of our being. And that is taught in Scripture very, very clearly. And I'd like to show that to you this morning, that God cries it out in the Psalms. God cries it out in the New Testament. God cries it out in Corinthians. You name it, all over. This concept is cried out of a deeper type of thankfulness than just, I'm thankful compared to other people who are less fortunate than me. But let's have a look before we go and look at deeper types of thankfulness that the world just doesn't preach about. And that's one of the reasons I don't understand salvation. Let's just look at this for a moment. The highest form of man's thankfulness. Not thanking for myself compared to others, but being thankful compared to people less fortunate than me. And let's start with the Christian family. Now, when I went to India, I remember going up into the mountains, and there you find people who never teach their children about Jesus because they've never heard the name of Jesus. What a privilege to have a Christian family compared to those people. Why were you born into a Christian family? Was it because you are special? Or was it because you were born, you had no choice? It just happened. It's an absolute gift. In South Africa, I go and preach often at the special homes, orphanages, at private schools that are for criminal children. And when you preach to these little children, at multiple times, you find that kids were prostitutes from the age of 2 months. In other words, a little child, 2 months old, will be sold for money. And they start with French kissing. I'm not going to go into the details of what they do further. But they start selling them at 2 months old to French kiss adult women who will pay to French kiss those little kids. And this is not an uncommon occurrence. This is what much of is happening out there in the world, especially in third world nations. These kids often grow up to be criminals, the worst criminals you can find. Some of these places I go, you'll find, and again on multiple occasions to a lesser degree, but I have found this not more than once, where you'll have a child that you can hold up like this, that's literally like jelly. And you can hold it by the hands and hold it by the feet, and there's no muscle structure almost. It just hangs like this and flops. And I ask, when I look at this little child, I ask these people, 5 years old, this child, can't talk anything. I ask, what is wrong with this child? Does it have a very bad disease? Is it genetic? What genetic disorder does it have, or sickness was it born with? And they will tell me on more than once that this child has absolutely nothing wrong with it. The only thing that's wrong with this child, it was born into a family where the parents were so abusive emotionally that that child's body started to eat itself. And under the stress of what it had with its parents, its body started to eat itself and it became jelly so that it cannot speak and you can go like this. When I think of these type of cases, and there are many of them, I thank God for a Christian family. Maybe not a perfect family, maybe not a dad and mom that are absolutely perfect and never get irritated with each other, but a Christian family that tried compared to these people. Another thing that we can be grateful compared to other people less fortunate is just the fact that we're alive. In South Africa, I was asked Jerusalem, sometimes I dream about her dying and then I cry and cry and cry. And yesterday I dreamt she died because she went off with Naomi, and that's a very dangerous thing to do. And she was driving with the kids, and I started crying there. I was preparing the sermon, and she said, "Why didn't you just phone me?" I said, "Whoa, you know, I was preparing." And but at the end of the day, I cry. Sometimes I wake up in the middle of the night, and I'm a cry baby, and I find out that actually once I woke up in the middle of the night, and I dreamt that someone died, and I phoned the person, and they were asleep, and I loved that person. And that person was so cross with me, "Yes, I am alive." And I'm like, "Oh, that's so wonderful." "Oh, you woke me up." It was terrifying. But a lot of us don't realize it's not because we're special that we're alive. There are many very special people out there that had a whole future ahead of them that could have been wonderful and beneficial to the kingdom of God, and God chose to take their life. One of them would be in our mission many years back. There was a guy called Benny. And a wonderful preacher. They used to call him the Israelite in whom is no guile, for a reason. He was an amazing preacher, amazing personal guy, had a lovely wife, very godly wife. And in the country of 55 million people today, probably in those days there was only 47 million people, a guy was let out of prison after 15, 16 years. And he said to the prison warden, "You're not going to see me alive again in this place." And it came out that he decided, "I'm going to drive down the road. And in this country of 46 million people, I'm going to find someone to kill by driving into them, and I will die at the same time." And so he drove a couple of over 100 miles, a few hundred kilometers. And of all the 46 million people in South Africa, he found this missionary evangelist in our mission to drive at full speed into the back of his car and kill him, and kill himself. And that guy was one of the most wonderful preachers, a young guy. Most wonderful spiritual workers. And yet, that guy rode into the back of him, chose out of 46 million people him to ride into that day. And I just think of that. Why am I alive? Because I'm a good preacher? Because I've got a future preaching? Because I could be helpful to other people? He was helpful to other people. He was one of the best preachers you can imagine. And yet God took him at a young age out of this world. And compared to him, we have to realize that it's a privilege just to be alive. One guy that I went to Bible college with, wonderful person, he really loved the Lord. but he struggled to have children. And I remember us praying with him to have children, and then after many years of praying, he got a child, and this little baby was born, but it had Down syndrome. And there's nothing, I mean, it was wonderful, praise the Lord for a Down syndrome child. But at the end of the day, he struggled with this initially. And I remember him looking in my face, and he had bitterness in his eyes initially. He said, "Roy, I can't stand it. We prayed for so many years, and now we got a baby, and God gave us this." And he was bitter. But then a little while later, he met me, and God had done something wonderful in his heart. God had worked in his heart to love that child. And he said, "My child is my bundle of joy, it's my life, I love that child." And then after God gave him love, shortly after that, he was in a car accident, and he was in a coma like Michael Schumacher, and he died. And so I have to ask myself, well, God gives him a child, and then God gives him love for the child, and then God takes his life. And if I look at that, I don't understand it perfectly, but one thing I can say, there's no specific reason, just because I have children, just because I have a ministry, just because I have some purpose in life that I think I have to fulfill, that I can say that's the reason that I'm definitely alive. It's mercy that I'm alive. It's a gift that I'm alive when I compare myself to others. But having said this and given you a few examples of gratitude compared to others less fortunate than ourselves, I'd like to point out three obvious weaknesses in this being our only form of gratitude as a Christian. Three obvious weaknesses in this being our only form of gratitude as a Christian. And the first weakness is that if our thanks is only compared to those less fortunate to ourselves, and it's nothing more than that, then there must be someone out there who is the least fortunate of all mankind who does not have to be thankful. Someone who has the worst medical condition, the worst childhood, the worst everything, who does not have to be thankful, because there's no one less fortunate than him. Secondly, this thankfulness is by degrees. Because you are thankful compared to those less fortunate than you, the more good things you have in life, the more thankful you should be, and the less good things you have in life, and the less fortunate you are, the less thankful you have to be, or could be. The third weakness is, the more things we achieve without the obvious help of God, the less we will be thankful in those areas of our life. The more things we achieve without the obvious help of God, the less we will be thankful in those areas of our life. And I'd like to give an example of this quickly, and then from Scripture. If I was to have a baby, I've had a few, and Brandon was to get married and have a little baby, well, a cute little Brandon. You might just call him after that guy in Turkey. and this little baby got very sick, and it seemed the doctor said this baby's probably gonna die. And you got down on your knees and you loved this little child. And you called out to God and you said, "God, please save my little baby." And when you cried out to God to save your little baby, in one moment, that baby got healed, and the doctors can't believe what happened, and you got your little child again. Because it's obvious that God worked, you would be very thankful in that area. But now, let's just say it wasn't something that it's obvious that God did something, which we can talk about. Those times in our life, God did something obvious for which we are more easily thankful towards God. Let's just say you got this big field, and this big field has lots of stones in it. And you go to this field, and I want to now start a farm, and you realize it's a lot of work. So you take your hands, not somebody else's hands, and you go down on your knees, and you put your hands into the ground, or you have a spade or whatever, and you start working, and you take stones out, and with your hands, it takes time, you go and put them out of that field, and so you de-stone that ground, or whatever you want to call it, and it takes hours and hours, months and months, and eventually you've got this huge field that they're not stones, so that you can plant a certain type of plant in there. And then you plant those plants, and you put stuff into it, and you water that ground, and you put so much effort into it, and after a while, you've got this business at sacrifice, which is working, and you get some money out of it and some fruit. Now, because you did something, many people's lives, it's easy, even an unsaved person, to say, wow, thank you to whoever's out there that heard my prayer and saved my little kid. But when you have a field which you put the labor in because you put the obvious labor and you didn't see some hand of God come down and boops, the stones were taken out, it's less likely that many people will be thankful about that kind of situation. And God in Scripture, knowing that this is how our thankfulness works, knowing that we have this weakness and tendency, warns against this continually through Scripture. He warns us to understand that when you spend labor on something, He gave it. And we must be thankful. One of these examples in Scripture, and we'll look at quite a few this morning in the second section, but it's Deuteronomy 8 verse 12 to 14. It says, lest, this is talking about the future, Moses is talking about the future when the Israelites would be in the land of Canaan. And they wouldn't be wandering about, but they would obviously build up businesses, de-stone fields, and they'd put effort into setting up their livelihoods. It says in Deuteronomy 8 verse 12 to 14, lest when thou hast eaten at full, hast built goodly houses and dwelt therein, and when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, and then the next verse, then thine heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. And then these words in verse 17. And thou say in thine heart, my power and the might of mine hand hath gotten me this wealth. My power and the might of mine hand hath gotten me this wealth. See, God knows that people, when they start doing stuff and building houses with their hands and plowing fields with their arms and their cattle and actually putting their own effort in, naturally they're going to think, wow, after all that sweat and tears for 5 years, 6 years, I've built a house, I've plowed a field, I've put the effort in that these cows can have kiddies, and all the things that go into that, because you put an effort in, you're going to start taking some of the credit to yourself. And God warns against this. Because it is very, very dangerous. David in the Bible understood that this was not how it works. When it came to Ziklag and the enemy came in and stole his wives and children and much of all that they had, and he went after them, and they came to the one brook and a couple of hundred to stay behind, and he went on with 400 or so of his soldiers, and they came and they smote the enemy. And they got a whole lot of riches, and they got their wives and children back, and a lot more. Then certain children of Belial stood up and said, we, because of what we did fighting with our swords, we should get all the treasure. But David said these words, ye shall not do so, my brethren, with that which the Lord hath given us. And he sent out portions to every person who'd ever given them a place to stay. And every person who'd ever helped them. And he realized something. Even though David took his sword, and he took his legs, and he had to walk all the way to where those people were, and with his sword, and his arms, and his leg, he had to work in a war where he was fighting people, and he had to do that. It was still everything that he got, a gift from God. This is a principle of Scripture that we have to understand. No matter how much effort you put in, doesn't matter. It's a gift from God. And we will look at that further in the second sermon as we go a little deeper and then very deep in the second session. Let us pray. Dear Father, I want to thank you so much that you want to teach us the deeper things of Christ, as Hebrews says. Many things you want to teach us, but it's sometimes hard to teach because we're dull of hearing, because we're not ready for meat, but we're only ready for milk. And I just want to ask that in the second session that we listen to this morning, that you would speak to my heart and you would speak to every single person sitting here. And that you would help us to have a deeper understanding that totally, radically transforms our lives as to what it is according to Scripture, not according to the world, but according to Scripture, to be thankful in what you expect of us in this area of life. Father, I ask this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.